listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up? It is the Forza Podcast. It is Monday, April 27th. We are in the middle of quarantine still. Rona season, baby. It is your boy, Marsh, as always. And as always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, how was your weekend? Talk to me. What are we feeling?
It was good, man. Our draft event went very well. Really appreciative of all the people that helped make it happen and participated. I'm not even going to try to name off the fans one by one because we had a lot and I don't want to miss anyone. But in terms of, you know, people that really helped us get it going, we had, you know, Derek Coe and Brett from Caneswear and Brad Tejeda and Travis Bruce and, you know, our guy Cliff. I just really appreciate everyone helping us out and dude, it was a blast. Did you love it as much as I loved it?
It was fun just like chatting it up with all these Canes fans and you know, them asking questions and seeing the reactions from some of our team's draft picks. It was a great time. Have to do something like that again.
Dude, possibly my favorite moment was when the Jags were picking at 9 and and Travis lost it, man. I'm going to have to watch that clip again right as we're done recording. Because Travis was pissed, man, because they took C.J. Henderson, a Gator.
Yeah, that was a shocker, man. That was one of the shockers. But my Cowboys had a great draft. Your Buffalo Bills got one of these Utah Utes running backs, so you should be excited about that. But
it was
a really good draft for my team, at least. And I know Dolphins fans are excited with Tua. So all in all, a good weekend.
Yeah, I think we're all happy. I mean, Bills got – they got that one kid, the defensive end out of Iowa, who's like a physical freak. And then they got Zach Moss. And then I thought Jake Fromm in the 5th round was a really good value pick.
You
know, he was definitely
– Fromm in that late of the draft, I thought he'd go a lot earlier. So yeah. That's a steal.
I love Allen, but you never know what's going to happen. So having Jake Fromm – you know, that's just great value. So I really liked the Bills draft. So it was good stuff.
And Josh Allen's hands might be too big. Hot take. They might be too big. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, if he can just stop like overthrowing people by 25 yards a handful of times a game, then he'll be really good. Because he's immensely talented. He's just kind of inconsistent.
Yeah. Absolutely. But today, I mean, today's show is going to be – I'm already pumped about it. I already love it. We have our very best friend in the world coming on the show, and we also are watching the announcement for 2021 recruit Ryan Rodriguez. He's the offensive lineman from Columbus High School in Miami. He's a guy that I've wanted for a long time. So we'll probably do the Kaya interview first and then talk about the Rodriguez – announcement, because he'll be doing that here in a few minutes. So is our best friend ready to come on?
Yeah, he is ready. But dude, you better hope that Braxton Berrios isn't listening, or he might feel cheated on that you have a different very best friend in the world now. So
are we gonna ask him through this interview if he's gonna hook us up with Braxton coming on the show? Are we gonna ask it?
I'll let you take care of that.
All right. Okay. If I'm brave enough.
Yeah. We can get nuts and you can ask him to bring his friend Braxton on.
Let's get crazy.
All right. I'll patch Brad in right now.
Hello.
What's up? Yay!
Hey.
All right. We now welcome on our good friend, our best friend, actually.
There we go.
Passing leader at Miami, Brad Kaya.
All time, don't forget it.
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. I'm just held up in my condo over here in Miami, and my head shaved, and I'm just chilling right now.
Okay, so you're in Miami right now.
Yes, I am currently.
Was that planned, or did you get stuck there when the quarantine stuff happened?
No, I actually came down here just to see my girlfriend for a little bit. And I was honestly just getting homesick in L.A. I took a flight, cautiously. I know people call me a lunatic for that, but took a flight, I wore a mask, wore glasses, a whole hazmat suit on the plane. Luckily, there was about five people on the plane, and I made it here safely, and I'm doing good. So no symptoms, and yeah, I'm good.
Wait, so are you saying that being in LA, you were homesick for Miami?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a little bit. Yeah, you could say that. Now I'm just going, you know, stir crazy, you know. Yeah.
I was gonna say, I think a lot of our listeners probably just got their heartstrings tugged on a little bit now that, I mean, you're an LA guy.
Right, but I mean, I am a Florida resident. I did change my residency to Florida strategically.
yeah.
But yeah, I'm chilling here. So actually, like with Braxton, Braxton's staying in my condo. He was staying here for the off season, but his off season's been extended because of what's going on. So it's been fun. It's been like this is the end. We're just two bros chilling, you know.
Well, first of all, tell Braxton we say hi.
I will. He's I think he's taking a nap or something right now.
So. Okay. Well, let's address the elephant in the room. Brad and I played a game of Madden.
Oh yeah, I almost forgot.
Yeah, I haven't. I have not forgotten. So yeah, Brad hits me up last week to play Madden, and I took a while to respond just because I'm like, oh crap, he's probably really good. And I was talking some heat.
Maybe.
This was my first time on Xbox Live. And this guy plays as the Jets, uses only Braxton Berrios, and literally –
I mixed a little Chris, a little Herndon in there too. A little Chris.
Yeah, Herndon caught a touchdown, but I swear Brax caught like seven. And I was just like, oh, you're – like, oh, you would. Like, yeah. So I was getting so mad playing that stupid game. You were at the line of scrimmage with Darnold, like calling audibles and like hot routes. I was like, what the hell's happening?
Uncharacteristic, but yeah.
I'm getting into the video game thing just because of this quarantine thing. Have you been playing Madden forever?
That was the first time I'd played Madden in about 6 months. So that was me being a little rusty, that 49-7 or whatever it was, 49-7 victory. I was a little rusty there, but I've been obviously working on my own stuff, and then some Call of Duty, whole lot of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
It's really taken off.
You playing Warzone or are you just playing the standard?
Yeah, the Warzone. It's like that's what's in right now. It's like the grown-ups Fortnite. So yeah, we'll hop on Warzone every so often and. You know, get some dubs here and there, you know, or do our best.
Yeah, I feel you.
You know,
I jumped on the Apex Legends bandwagon and I'm gonna ride that thing into the ground. I love that game.
So. That's a good one. It's a nice high paced, you know, fluid shooter. So it's fun.
Yeah.
Video games are stupid.
Of course.
Losing 49-7 was pretty stupid to me.
Beat me
so.
By 40, beat me again. So that was a great way to end my night.
We can go rematch again. I mean, we can go. Who's bad. The Cardinals again, or you know.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Man. That's cool. Okay. Well, moving on. Let me ask you. I have to ask you a question. When you come back to Miami, what's the first restaurant you go to?
There's Smoothie King. That's not a restaurant, that's more of just like a snack, so I'd say Smoothie King first. But restaurant wise, I'll probably have to say there's a spot called El Rinconcito, which is right in front of where I used to live in Coral Gables. It's a little hole in the wall. I think it's on Bird Road and like 30, I forgot. But it's a little hole in the wall, and it's fire. And it's literally like you get like three meals in one. Like you order one piece of chicken and it lasts you for days, honestly. And that's where I used to always eat when I was in college, because it was like an $8 meal gets you through like half the week. So, yeah, that's my go-to when I come back. So, but yeah, the Cuban food is always – I mean, any Cuban food is always first up.
Yeah, I mean, there's no Cuban food on the West Coast. There's nothing.
No. I actually did find I think I was in maybe Venice or Santa Monica and found like a hole in the wall Cuban spot like years ago, but I don't know if it's still there or not, but they had plantains and moros and all that. But I mean, like, you just can't replicate it honestly anywhere, but, probably Miami and Havana,
you know?
So,
dude, I was pissed. Yeah. I was supposed to be going out to LA this upcoming weekend, but.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Everything is, everything.
Right. Going. Everything. Yeah. I was supposed to go to Europe in about a month from now, but I don't know if that's going to go down. I'm supposed to go to Sweden. But yeah.
Were you just going to Sweden or did you have any other countries planned?
Oh, well, I mean, my, so my girlfriend, she's from Sweden. And, like they're like, but they moved to Boca a few years back, but, yeah, we were supposed to go out there together, stay at their place out there, but, they can't even leave the country right now and it might mess with their visas. So they're, yeah, they're kind of just landlocked here in Florida.
Jeez.
So yeah, it's rough time. So
I'm quite the avid traveler. I've been to like 15 different European countries in the last 5 years. So,
oh wow.
But Sweden is one What's that I favorite? Have been to. What was that?
What's your favorite?
I really love the UK. I spent like a month and a half there last summer.
Okay, you Guy Ritchie guy.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I love the UK. I also really love the Netherlands, and I absolutely loved Estonia. The capital city, Tallinn, is just like
nice
place to see in Eastern Europe, man. So highly recommended.
Nice. Okay, I'll check it out one day.
So, yeah.
Okay, so last since we last talked, some things happened. You got into the – I saw that you got into the USC Masters Film Program. Is that right?
Yeah, they're writing for television and, you know, film program, yeah.
So, all right, well, more writing. Are you doing that in the fall?
Yeah, we'll see if it's online or – I mean, I honestly, you know, I don't hope that it's online, but it would be convenient if it was online. I wouldn't have to drive through L.A. traffic every day, but obviously we're hoping that it's in person, you know what I mean? But yes, that will be happening in the fall. You know, I can't wait, so it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be huge.
Okay. good deal That's awesome. Yeah. Man, I love USC. Yeah. USC's campus is awesome. I mean, right outside the walls are a little sketchy, but the campus is
Well, it's gotten better. I mean compared to when I was getting recruited years ago, I was petrified to go down there, you know. But now it's gotten better, so I'm looking forward to it. We'll see.
Yeah.
It was the only school I applied to, honestly, because it was either that or just work. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of work, you have a new job now since last time we talked. Isn't that correct?
Yes, I actually – well, the job I was at, I actually quit where I was working at because it's just things have picked up a lot in terms of my own projects and – being technically an independent contractor or a screenwriter, a lot has picked up for me in the past several months. And especially now because during the quarantine, like right now, this is like a, even though there's nothing in production, it's kind of a feeding frenzy in terms of getting projects out there, companies acquiring projects. So I'm working overtime. So if I'm not playing Madden with Marsh, I'm usually working on something. Cool. Yeah.
And so you're producing original content in terms of screenplays and just trying to get those picked up by studios?
Yeah. So I've been writing, several projects. Currently, you know, I'm actually been contracted to do a rewrite on a feature film screenplay. It's not really my genre. It's a rom-com, so it's been challenging, but the producers like my version of it. So we've been working through that with a production company that is working in conjunction with the studio on it. Yeah. So I can't really go into the details of it all, but that's been exciting. It's cool because, I mean, it's just, you know, when you go through years and years of someone who's wanted to tell stories and, you know, writing your own stories, you always wonder – whether or not it's actually all going to attribute to something or come to fruition, or if you're just some wacko who just thinks he has a good idea and is in his basement or something, you know what I mean?
No,
so that's been fun. And just working on a few other, you know, high concept, stuff with producers, and certain producers have hit me up to write stuff.
Cool.
Currently working on something that's going to be football oriented. That I'm excited about that. you know, got to write it pretty soon and get it in a studio's hand that's wanted to see it. So yeah, it should be pretty fun. I'm looking forward to the next month and a half are going to be huge during this quarantine.
Dude, that's amazing. And
yeah,
you know, make sure you let us know when, you know, any of your projects get picked up, and so we can, you know, we can let our listeners know that it's something to attach to. And
right. Hopefully, I mean, hopefully everyone knows, they'll be on commercials and, you know, on your streaming platforms soon,
yes.
You know.
Okay. So before we get into football questions, I have some movie questions and some actor questions for you. So first of all, I've always been a huge fan of Seth Rogen and those guys, that whole crew. Right.
But I just watched like This Is the End and like ironically the interview yesterday with my girlfriend, because she hasn't seen any of my girlfriend. She grew up in Sweden, so she's never seen a single Seth Rogen movie. So I'm jealous that she's now gotten to see them all for the first time.
Yeah.
So I've been rewatching all of them this past week.
Yeah, so that's funny you say that, because a few days ago I just watched the interview for the first time too.
Oh wow!
I assume you're a big fan of Rogan and Franco.
Huge fan. I mean, like Pineapple Express. Yeah, This Is the End. I mean, all the Sausage Party. I mean, I can keep going, but yes, I am.
Good deal. Good deal. What has been like your go-to movies like throughout the quarantine process?
I mean, I mentioned earlier, like the Gentleman was one. I mean, just Guy Ritchie stuff, rock and roll. I
love that movie way more than I should.
I mean, it's Guy Ritchie. It's a Guy Ritchie to a T. You know what I mean? But in terms of stuff that I've watched during the quarantine, I probably have to say, I mean, I've been really big into just comedies right now, just because everything else I see is just so negative and dark, and you know, it's kind of hard because I'm usually into darker stuff and neo-noirs and westerns and, you know, crime, like gritty type of films, but so far I've just been really into just watching comedies, just because it's like right now, like we're living like we're living through a dark, twisted sci-fi drama, you know what I mean? So it's like I'd rather watch funny stuff, I guess. If that makes sense.
No, I mean back to freaking Guy Ritchie, Snatch is one of my favorite movies, like okay. Mm-hmm. And then because Jordan and I, we talked about like movies for like an hour on the show last time, and we were talking about, he's a USC guy too, Will Ferrell. Are you a fan of him?
I am. I mean, he's not, you know, obviously I've been more of a Seth, you know, James guy, but I do like Talladega Nights, Step Brothers. Me and Braxton were just watching a few days ago. So yeah, I mean, I will get into some Will Ferrell stuff. He hasn't done anything like super notable in the past few years, but I mean, in terms of what I grew up on, that's always the guy who, you know, he always comes to mind.
Okay, because I feel like people are either, I mean, Will Ferrell's a guy you either love or you hate him. I feel like a lot of people nowadays are like, that's not their kind of humor. That was like the humor when we were growing up and things like that.
Right. Well, I mean, it has gotten, I guess humor has, I guess, changed. It's been, you know, I don't know how to put this, but in terms of just what you can get away with now. You know what I mean? It's changed. And in terms of just the budget and money being put towards comedies, has changed. But I mean, who knows? Maybe with all the madness going on, it might go the other way in the 2020s, or people might want to see more of that raunchy, you know, no holds barred humor. So we'll see.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I definitely hope they go back. I agree with you though. I feel like the Will Ferrell era, you know, that I feel like it quickly disintegrated when James Franco and Seth Rogen started doing their stuff.
Right.
It was much more of more intensely crude and kind of had like a stoner edge to it.
Right.
You know, movies like Superbad, I just find those so much funnier than like Anchorman.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like Anchorman was like written by 14-year-olds.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's hard to call... It's like, I don't know. It's sophisticated is not the right word, because there's nothing like sophisticated about the stoner humor, you know?
Right. Whereas nowadays, it's like all humor has to be sophisticated and well thought out, and yeah. You know, there's less room for stoner humor, and there's more room for stuff that's you know, inertly funny and politically correct, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were lucky when we were growing up, like the movies that were coming out and that kind of humor that they were able right. to get away with, man.
Yeah. It's like that 2000s wave, you know, that kind of, yeah, it died out in the early, you know, 2010s, but.
Yes.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Okay, yep. So let me ask some football questions. So you were on the Colts for a little bit. Let me ask, how is Andrew Luck, like, I imagine Andrew Luck to be like a huge nerd. Is he?
He is. He is.
What's he like?
No, he's an awesome guy. But he is one of those people. There's few people I know like this, but he's one of those guys who legitimately knows at least a little bit about everything. Like, honestly, there isn't a single conversation that Andrew there isn't a single conversation that can be had around Andrew that he just doesn't know at least a few things about, like whether it's movies, whether it's video games, whether it's stocks, whether it's, who knows, Parks and Recreation. You know, it's just like across the board, he legitimately knows like a little bit about pretty much everything, which can be nice. And it also can be, hey, Andrew, I'm having this conversation with someone else. Don't worry about it. But no, he's a great guy. He honestly is awesome dude.
That's dope. Okay, and I was watching this game like last week. It was what'd you guys play Washington State in, the Sun Bowl?
Sun Bowl, yeah.
Okay. I have to ask you, man, what was going through your head when that halfback pass was called?
I mean, to be honest, like it worked in practice. Like every day in practice, like we probably repped it three times. And like even when like before we left Miami, like we had repped it, we had came up with it in the film, like in the meeting rooms. Joe was a high school quarterback, so I mean he was throwing the ball really well. And even during the week leading up in El Paso, like it was sunny. It was like the weather was nice. I mean, it was a little windy here and there, but I mean just about every single day it was like 65 degrees. You know, there was no sign of any blizzard, any snowstorm. Like there was no sign of it at all. So it was working pretty well in practice. He was spinning it like 45 yards on a dime, throwing it better than I was. And I was like, why don't we just go Wildcat this game, honestly? And then, yeah, game day came and yeah, I mean, the ball must have slipped out of his glove, I think. and then I just was watching the ball, you know, float through the air, just thinking, you know, there goes the game. You know, and then but yeah, you know, it was rough. And then we actually almost came back and tied the game, but then a penalty negated that. We actually had several chances too, but
yeah
it was a tough one. But I mean, I believed in the call when it was called. Like when the play call got called in, you know, I thought it was gonna be a touchdown, honestly. I mean, I didn't really think about the fact that there was a snowstorm that might lead to a slick glove and a, you know, interception. But yeah,
that game, yeah. You guys had like five plays taken away from penalties.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many different plays that just didn't go our way. We honestly, looking back, should have won that game. I mean, Washington State didn't across the board. I mean, they were nowhere near, like, you know, player for player, they just didn't match up with us. Obviously those, you know, those Northwestern folk are, you know, used to snow and cold weather. But yeah, I mean, we had like a fumble in the red zone. We had a touchdown called back that would have put us ahead. What else? Another ball, a pass that turned into an interception in the red zone. But yeah, just a bunch of stuff didn't go our way. But yeah, even, I mean, nonetheless, we still almost damn near won the game, which I don't know how, but yep. Yep. So great end of 2015 in the snow in Texas.
I got a question for you. So we had Marquez Williams on our draft thing that we did over the weekend. You know, had like a live broadcast. Right. And so you came up, and I asked him what his favorite Brad Kaya story was.
Nice.
And, you know, he just said that there was, like, a time that you guys went to the bars and you were wearing, like, shades and like, trying to disguise yourself and stuff. And that made me laugh, but it got me thinking, like, what was it like being 19, moving across the country, and then, you know, like, being famous, I guess. Like, you're the starting QB for one of the most legendary college programs.
Right.
Like, were you getting recognized on the street, and, like, and just what was it like, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like I was getting recognized on the street more than I did on campus, which can be, you know, I don't know what that's a commentary on. Maybe the fact that, I guess, you know, UM is almost considered a professional team, you know, in the state of Florida, as opposed to back home. It was like, yeah, USC, you get recognized on campus, but there's so many celebrities around LA. It's like no one really cares that much about football. Whereas in Miami, it's like everywhere I'd go, you know, whether it be El Rinconcito or Yard House or, you know, no matter what, even out in South Beach, it's like, how are these, you know, 45-year-old European bouncers recognizing me at outside clubs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which was a bit of a shock, but at the same time, you know, I mean, I expected to go to Miami, expected to play. That was always the plan. And I think I handled it well. It wasn't, you know, obviously it was surprising, but at the same time, it's what comes with it. And some people have to know how to balance, you know, the extracurricular stuff and balance stuff outside of the field. You obviously can't let that outweigh what the on-field product should be. And some people let that get the most of them. And we've seen that happen, I think, a lot throughout college football. And we've seen it happen at, you know, unfortunately, it's happened at UM before. So yeah, you have to know how to balance it all, because obviously living in Miami, you know, I mean, everyone knows what happens in Miami. It's just a matter of letting it spill out into your other, you know, aspects of your life.
So. Which town do you think has, like, a crazier nightlife scene, Miami or LA?
I'd say Miami. Definitely, really? Miami, without a doubt, Miami. Yeah, in Miami. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, because I have friends. I mean, they live in LA, and you know, they're into banking over there and everything, and they say it's insane. But
they're rich.
Okay. Into Miami.
Uh huh.
Yeah. It's okay. I just had to ask. That's a question I had always wondered about. Which college team, when you were at Miami, which college team do you think had the most trash talkers?
Like in terms of like ACC or just in, I mean,
like in general, like which defense had like the most trash talkers?
It was always, you know what? What's crazy is it was always the really bad teams, like the teams that we were expected to blow out. Those were always the teams that did the most trash talking. It wasn't Florida State. It wasn't, I mean, obviously we had our own, you know, issues with Florida State, but it wasn't the big teams. It was always like the, you know, use and the, you know, the I don't know, the Arkansas States, you know, even like the FAMUs of the world, they always talk the most trash. But like the teams, I don't know if they weren't intimidated by us, or they didn't feel the need to, or they were, or maybe we were, or we intimidated them. But yeah, it was always like the really, really bad unranked teams, like the FCS, you know. FCS Southeast on NCAA 14, you know, those type of teams.
Because, I mean, I remember listening to an interview, I think Braxton did actually, and he got asked that same question, and he said North Carolina talked a lot of trash.
Oh, yeah, they did, right, whereas Duke wouldn't say a word. It was like two different entities, even though they're both within miles of each other.
Yeah. Well, what was it like when
that Andrew Luck thing?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, it's probably like the Andrew Luck thing. If you had asked him about the economy, they would have had plenty to say.
Oh, right. Or thermodynamics or, you know, anything like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what was the question I was just going to ask? What was going through your mind when you guys played UNC and that guy did the upside down U or whatever?
I mean, at that point, we were getting our butts whipped. So, I mean, it was like, you know, there's obviously there's something I would love to be able to do right now, but at the at this moment, we can't really do very much currently. So it's, you know, it was kind of like my hands were tied at that moment, honestly. But they got back next year.
That game sucked. Yeah. Okay, so here's my last question for you. What was the toughest environment you played, both at Miami and then also in the NFL?
Probably, I'd have to say at Florida State, honestly. I mean, 2015, you know, like, first off, it was loud. Yeah. We made the decision to not use silent cadence. So usually when we go on the road, we go silent cadence, whether that's me tapping the center's ass or me giving like a foot stomp. But here we walked in and like we were like, you know, the coaches were like, all right, we're just going to go off your voice, Brad. So I had literally every play. I mean, by the end of the game, I couldn't talk because I had been screaming, you know, like at the top of my lungs for an hour or 3 hours. And then the first play, I pulled my groin on a scramble. So like the rest of the game, I was honestly like, I was kind of like, I was playing with a, like with a pulled groin, you know, it's, I'm in the tiger's den, you know, I'm in the belly of the beast for the rest of the game. And it's, yeah, it was tough. And, yeah, I mean, that place gets loud. I mean, there's no place like it. Obviously there's other places like Nebraska, 97,000, you know, your face mask is rattling the first play or, yeah, stuff, places like that, like the Big Ten type of places. But yeah, I'd say Florida State.
So that's funny. I mean, I may have told you about this before, but I was living in Tallahassee, like two blocks from the stadium.
Right.
When the game was going on. I was surprised how many Miami fans were in Tallahassee. Like, yeah, there were a ton of Canes fans.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they showed up. I mean, there was a good little like quarter of the stadium that was filled. I mean, there should have been half, I'd hope, you know, but it was a good little quarter. I mean, I get it. The Florida State fans probably buy up those tickets. But yeah, it was a nice little quarter of the stadium filled. And I went through like one little, you know, my last touchdown that game where we took the lead, I hit Stacy in the back corner of the red zone. And as I'm trotting over, I just see that it was like right in front of that Miami section. You know what I mean? I see like all the orange and green just like rising up. It was pretty hype moment. So, yeah.
So I got two questions for you before this wraps up. The first one is I'm curious from a player's perspective, especially during the era that you played for UM, who is a rival that I guess obviously Florida State's our biggest rival, right?
Yeah.
Locker room, who felt like the second biggest rival to you guys?
I'd probably have to say I mean, Nebraska felt like one, honestly, even though we only got a home and home, you know, a two game series, that felt, you know, as close of a rivalry as any of the other games felt.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have to say that one.
Awesome. So, yeah, there's a lot of history there.
Yeah.
And then my last question, we talk to you a lot about movies, but I'm curious about your TV show tastes.
Okay. So
would you just give us like five? It doesn't have to be the top five in order, but five of your favorite TV shows of all time, please.
Oh, of all time.
Yep.
Damn, because I'm always turning out new ones. Damn. That's a tough one, man. There's so many TV shows. I might have to just go with the 2010s or like, okay, you know.
How about we say comedies?
I mean, I'm more of a drama guy. You know what I mean? I'm more of a, you know, dramatic. I mean, I'm into darker dramas.
Okay.
But comedies, I'll probably go one, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
That's
the funniest
all time. Yeah, it's undefeated. Obviously, Seinfeld is another good one. I mean, does SNL, is late night like television count?
Yeah.
You know, SNL.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
another one. I really like I always like, I mean, Ballers isn't necessarily my favorite of all time, but Ballers is one that's like, you know, I really got into because it's was Miami, LA, you know, The Rock, you know, football, I mean, all that stuff.
I think the first two seasons of that were really, really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
And then I probably have to say I mean, Barry is another one that I really like. I've really gotten into with Hader. So yeah. That's another solid one. So, okay. Yeah.
Deal. Yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I mean, you don't like Entourage, though?
Entourage is good. I just never really got into Entourage. I know, I mean, people always tell me I should. It's like, you know, L.A.,
yeah.
Entertainment industry. I just like it's – I kind of caught on late to it, and I was just like it's already – it's like Game of Thrones. It's like – Mm-hmm. You know what? Like you can't just hop in. I don't know, I just couldn't hop in, you know, season five. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's been so much content now. It's hard to like rewatch stuff or restart stuff. It's like a new show comes out every 2 weeks that everyone on Twitter is talking about. You know, I mean, because everyone can just binge stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard to catch on the wave and bad and stuff. Yeah.
No, I was honestly going. I forgot to ask you if you were a fan of like Curb Your Enthusiasm and Larry David. So I'm so glad
big
that
Larry
you,
David guy. Huge Larry good, David guy.
Good deal, man. Well, hey Brad, thank you so very much for coming on again, brother. We really really do appreciate it. Let's play some Madden this week and tell Braxton that we say hello.
I will. I'll wake him up right now and tell him Marsh is looking for him.
Yeah, dude, I'm trying to reach out to him to get him on the show.
Yeah. Well, good deal, man. Well, he's starting meetings and stuff right now, so he's kind of a little busy. Like they're doing their Skype meetings and Zoom meetings and trying to add some normalcy to the off season.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. Well, hey, you guys stay safe and we'll talk to you later, brother.
All right, sounds good, man.
Thanks, Brad. Right.
Take care.
Love him,
dude. He's the greatest.
I love him. He's like
That's why he's our best friend, right?
Best. And some good news. Ryan Rodriguez is a Hurricane.
Cool. I love it, man. Love to hear it.
Fifth ranked center in the class of 2021. He was Miami Herald had him first team All Dade County last year. Also, he had two 2021 Canes offensive linemen who are committed for that 2021 class were on that first team. It was him and also Lawrence Seymour. So, and last week we asked Michael McLaughlin which guy he's trying to get to add on to this class, and he said Ryan Rodriguez. So, did our show have anything to do with it? I don't know.
I would say 100% yes. It is our fault that Ryan committed this week.
Yeah. So, you're welcome. You're welcome, Canes fans. Yeah.
I'll invoice you later, Manny.
Yeah. But yeah, good job for the Canes. We're just building that offensive line, man. Hell of a job by Coach Justice.
Yeah.
Like I mean, they're making it a priority to get those offensive linemen and these new guys, especially Justice is making our older coaches look horrible at recruiting.
Well, it's almost like if you take your time and you make a good coaching hire for position coaches, that it turns you into a good program.
Yeah, funny how that works.
Yeah, we should do some scientific studies on that because it's a hot take, right?
We'll run some numbers for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, good deal, man. Well, I guess like next episode when we get back together next week, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Maybe we'll have someone on the show and discuss. But great interview with Brad, man. That's so funny that he's with Braxton right now.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
I thought you were. I honestly thought that you were gonna ask him to go get
Braxton. You wake him up.
Hey, any chance you could get Braxton on this call?
Let's get Braxton awake. Let's wake his ass up. That's so funny though. That's awesome, man. Yeah, Kai is awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's dope.
He's a cool guy, man. I hope that I hope we can have him on, you know, every so often and that he can kind of be a recurring guest because he's great. I mean, he's just so interesting, you know. He's I mean he's clearly a really smart dude. Like and who makes it in like two of the biggest industries in America, you know? Like everyone wants to be in Hollywood or the NFL, and he did both.
Brad makes it.
Yeah, like why wouldn't people want to hear from him? So I'm always genuinely interested to hear what he has to say. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, you got anything else for today, bro?
No, man. I think we're gonna take the rest of the week off, right? And then bounce back next week with some good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, thank you to Brad Kaya for coming on the show again. Congrats to Ryan Rodriguez. Hopefully, we get to keep him on the 2021 class, and we're just going to keep working and get those future Hurricanes. So till next time, go Canes.
Go Canes, man.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like and leave a comment to help our podcast grow.